Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, some advanced mathematics from J. Randall Murphy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, just before the break, we were talking about math. I guess it's the claim that if we can put it in mathematical form, then we can create it in reality. But I don't think that that is the case. I think that math is essentially a way of describing an idea. And if it's an abstract thought, it might be fine. It can be internally coherent. It can be internally consistent. All of the numbers can add up, but in reality, it just can't be done.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I have to agree with you. Was it saying, I think it was one of my professors many years ago, it's a game. When you learn how to play the rules, you can play the game. So yes, mathematics can be used as a game. In a lot of ways, in practicality, no, it doesn't actually work in the real world because there are a lot of other variables that come into play. It's true, but I think in a lot of ways, you're still going to have a fairly positive view on technological development. Will human beings in 100 years also be colonizing other worlds? I think we're going to do it a lot sooner than that. Myself, if Elon Musk has got any say in it, I think it'll happen in the next 25, 30 years, but maybe even sooner. But yeah, I think you're right, Randall. I think you can kind of focus on the mathematics too much and go, yeah, well, it works on paper. And, oh, God, actually, I'm kind of killing myself here because I look at my own engineering stuff over the years and go, yeah, it works on paper. It don't work in reality.
Well, I mean, if the premise is correct, the idea of space-time is not very well understood by the general population. And I think that even some of the people that are working with the algorithms themselves tend to think of, say, something like time as a dimension when that's just more of a convenience term. It's like an aspect. Yes. And even more accurately, it's a variable.
Yeah.
It's not a dimension. It's a variable in an equation, right?
Yes.
So while we do have three spatial dimensions, so that's fine. But when you really look at time, you're looking at something that is not like that. It's a different thing in terms of its conceptual formation.
Mm.
So just to assign it a variable and say, well, we'll just put, T there. We'll call that time and an equal sign in between something else and then turn it around mathematically and say, well, that means time can go backwards is a really huge assumption, I think,
Absolutely. Yeah. I like that. That's well put.
But it takes someone to sort of understand it and then bring it down to that simple level to say, okay, this can't be the case because this is what we're really talking about. That kind of takes me back to just to touch on Leslie again briefly, her book on surviving death. And these very fine points, at one point I was saying to her that there is no real evidence in terms of real time that these events are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said, yes, there is. And then we had to go to break and we never got a chance to come back to it. But it's those kinds of miscommunications, I think, that can be very important because when I say real time, I'm not disputing that people are having experiences and coming out of, say, operating theaters and saying that they remember floating up out of their bodies and seeing things in the operating room. I'm saying that there's no cases where, say, maybe they gave someone an epidural or some sort of anesthetic that allowed them to remain conscious while their consciousness floated up out of their body so that in real time they could say, hey, this is happening to me. I'm floating up out of my body now. And by the way, I can see all of this stuff so that people can verify it in real time as it's happening. Right?
Yeah.
There is no cases like that. There's only cases where people come back afterwards and this memory seems to appear.
Yes. And so I've looked at this myself before and wondered, well, are these memories just the brain in a state of confusion and maybe because we don't really truly understand in a lot of ways exactly what's happening to the human body while it's dying, certainly not the mind and the consciousness. So Maybe it is just the brain creating stuff itself, almost like an hallucination. And that's what these people are coming back and talking about. From my point of view, there is no real evidence to say they have had a near-death experience, an afterlife experience. Yeah, for me, I kind of find the whole ghost sort of that sort of field a little hard to deal with, because a lot of it is so very hard to give any form of evidence on at all. Large amounts of anecdotal. I do watch a number of videos online of people sort of, oh, I post this. Here's this image of a black mass, shadow person. I go, what is that? It looks like. Just looks like a blur. It could have been one of your own guys walking near one of your lights that you're doing all this at night, and you're seeing a shape that you've seen later on. And all it was actually just a shadow. Trying to prove this sort of thing is almost damn near impossible. So I don't know. I certainly agree, a life after death, I don't know. I think maybe you're not supposed to know.
Well, I take it a step further and say that it's impossible for reasons of logic and coherence. That it just can't be the case. You know, we can go through that in a step-by-step fashion, and if anyone out there can find a way around it, I'd be happy with that. But, you know, because I would like to believe it as much as anyone else. It's just I can't find a way around it. For example, what we're dealing with here is memories with people. Mm. And we know how memory works, but people tend to confuse that with someone whose consciousness has continued to exist past the point of their bodily death.
Mm.
So consciousness and memory are two entirely different concepts. We know very well how memory works. We isolated it to regions in the brain. We can disturb it. We can erase parts of it. We can bring parts of it back. And we know exactly where all of that takes place. It's not as much of a mystery as consciousness. So if someone says, well, they remember something happening to them, their brain had to be working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because otherwise they couldn't remember it. It wouldn't be there. It's not like there's this magical thing that's residing in their brain that causes us to remember. There are memory centers. They're neural memory circuits. So therefore, if memory happened, their brain had to be working. So if a doctor says, well, their brain couldn't have been working, they had to either be wrong or the memory itself was formed after the patient was brought back to life or resuscitated, right?
Absolutely.
It can't be any other way. So it's not like we can't come up with ideas to say that couldn't happen. We can. We can definitively say that in that case, that's what we're dealing with. Yeah. People with functioning brains, not anything to do with consciousness, right?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. If their brain is functioning, they're not dead. So they're able to form a memory.
Exactly. Right? So why should we jump to the conclusion that then that is any evidence for consciousness? After death, there's no connection.
No connection at all. I think it's just because people really want to believe there's something after, you know, you pop this mortal coil and then shuffle on for that great dirt nap. I don't see it that way myself. How do I put it? So I don't worry too much about death. Hey, it was the old Pink Floyd. You got to go sometime.
Oh, Pink Floyd. Yeah, how's your band doing? Are you still playing?
Yes, we are. I haven't done anything in the last 12 months. Largely because we did a tour and I was working on some other projects and teaching took over my life for a wee while again. Gearing back up to do some stuff in Australasia again in the coming year. So we'll get back out and put some shows on stage again. It's also after when you do a tour of this music, and I said, sound crazy to somebody who's a Pink Floyd nut, I get sick of listening to it and I certainly get sick of playing it. It's only so many times you can walk on stage and play Dark Side of the Moon.
But you are, okay, here's a question for you. We know, of course, Pink Floyd had an album called Saucer Full of Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any connection between any of the members of Pink Floyd and UFO sightings, like actual experiences that you know of? You know how a number of celebrities have had them. What about Pink Floyd? Have any of them ever seen a UFO?
Not that I know of. It's not stuff that I know of. Saucer Full of Secrets is, it's an awesome album. If you're into that more psychedelic kind of things, I think, if you actually look at the album cover, Doctor Strange is on there and all kinds of other bits and pieces. You have a look at it. I'm not entirely sure what Saucer Full of Secrets was actually a reference to. I know how they created it. They're architectural students, so they built it more like the arrangement, like an architectural arrangement.
Hey, let's discuss that. further in our next segment. David, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot.
Oh, it's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
David Stone, we stopped you in the middle of your action.
You were asking about if any of the members of Floyd have actually seen a UFO. They've never talked about it. But then again, knowing what I know about the members of the Floyd, they're very, very quiet about stuff. And they're very matter-of-fact and fairly sensible people. I know there's the whole trope of the, you know, being acid-washed and drenched music. Those guys were pretty sober. They're more businessmen than anything else. Otherwise, generally, they probably wouldn't have made it. And if you look at the style of music the Floyd is, was there really ever a market for it? No, but they created it. And it was a lot of hard work for them to do it.
The way it always goes, though? I mean, whenever there's some sort of supposed overnight sensation, I go, yeah, right, let's just have a closer look at this. And chances are they've had to put in a lot of hard work and pay their dues and over a number of years to get where they've gone.
Yeah, well, 10 years to overnight success, yes.
All right. So you might know this, though, another connection with Floyd and UFOs. They were known for performing back in the 60s at a club in London called...
The UFO Club.
The UFO Club, exactly.
Yeah, that's where it was born, where a lot of their lighting designing and et cetera was all developed back then. They actually had lighting units that worked with oil over your projector and different bulbs. They called them Daleks because occasionally they'd explode and they'd be firing broken glass out onto them on stage. Very British. But yeah, that's where it all began. A lot of stuff actually developed there, a band called Soft Machine, etc. Another thing, just not to get too far away from Floyd, but we owe sort of a debt of gratitude to groups like the Beatles for being able to start to be directly creative in a studio, because up to that point, you couldn't do that. You couldn't just go in there and be directly creative and develop things in a studio. You went in, you recorded it, you left. And without the Beatles breaking that, Pink Floyd probably would not have actually ever been able to do the stuff that they did, because they were able to go in there and experiment and create things on the spot. So that's experimentalism from that sort of late 1960s, early 1970s sort of style thing was really a direct knock-on from the Beatles being able to just go in there and start creating things. I mean, I think most of us have a copy of Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, I know I do. So, yeah.
Well, we know John Lennon saw a UFO. He was with, was it May Pang at the time, I think? Mm. But just sticking with Floyd briefly here, this is something you're going to love. If you don't already know, he auctioned off a bunch of his guitars, 127 items. Gene, you're going to love this too. Okay, can you guys, you might already know this, David, but how much do you figure that his guitars went for? Race. This is for a charity called Client Earth.
Yeah. Oh, God. I do believe, what was it? His Black Strat went for just shy of $4
million. Yeah.
It's like, wow.
$3,975,000 for a Black Stratocaster.
I mean, I own a replica, but
it's like, wow.
The one that surprised me that didn't go for a higher price was the Gold Top Les Paul that he used for doing the solos for Another Brick in the Wall Part 2. That's the We Don't Need No Education. And that went for only a few $100,000, which for me, out of that, I mean, I know the Black Strat was the big one everybody wanted to buy, but for me, I was looking at ones like, oh, if I only had some extra money, I'd love that other guitar.
But it had a White Strat, I guess, that went for $1.8 million.
Yeah.
That was also used in Another Brick on the Wall.
Yep. Yes, the rhythm part, I believe, is a Strat. Mm-hmm. When I play it live, I use a Gold Top Les Paul. I own one myself. I try to get as close to original sounds as I can. I must spend hours sitting there in my studio at home trying to get things as close tonally to the original, but I can't even get 100% because I don't have his fingers. I mean, a lot of it, if any guitar players out there, the tones in your fingers, people, put the gear away.
You asked me. I had no way of predicting what these things go for. I do have a black Fender Strat in the closet, Grayson's. Probably worth now, what, $125?
Oh, I'll buy it off you. Yeah, sure. Just send it. I'll send you a check tomorrow. If it's a genuine black Strat, no doubt.
It's a real one, but I want to keep it here.
I'll even pay the difference in the exchange rate.
Some of those guitars can go for enormous prices. I worked on a friend of mine's Strat. I think it was a 78 or 79 Stratocaster. I think it's worth something about $35,000-$40,000. I mean, in great condition, these instruments could be worth quite a lot of money. I've got some investment ones myself, which are quietly sitting there. I won't talk about on here. But, you collect them. I don't collect them because of the worst something. I collect guitars simply because I've got a use for them. And also my wife also plays guitar as well. So in this household, it's not an argument over, are we buying another guitar? It's who gets another one next.
That's nice. Yeah,
it is.
It was almost a couple of years ago now, but Jackson Brown came through town doing a solo show, mm-hmm. and he had a lineup of guitars behind him. And I'll never forget his comment on it. He said, well, some people wonder, why do I need so many guitars? And I used to wonder the same thing mm-hmm. before I knew and learned about guitars. It's just before I knew about them, it was just like, why would anybody need a whole, 50 guitars? And it,
I don't think Joe Bonamassa needs as many guitars as he has. That's just an horrendously huge collection. But everyone I have, they're all used for different purposes. I have them for good reason, namely because the cost of them, I can't just go out and buy one every week. I'm a teacher. I'm not a millionaire,
Well, Randy Bachman had a whole bunch. I guess there was a guitar museum that burned down. They lost a whole bunch. So he donated a whole bunch of his guitars to this guitar museum down in the States.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're totally away from the paranormal.
Absolutely. I don't know. Yeah. Guitars are paranormal.
Maybe it's a paranormal guitar. A paranormal guitar, okay? It kind of switches in and out from this dimension to another dimension of sight and sound.
Hey, folks,
I want to tell you something here before Mr. and Mr. Giggles there are silent. I can tell you that we are still rebuilding our new Paracast shop at theparacast.shop. We've got all sorts of branded merchandise for logos. You pick the logo, you select the merchandise. I think it's triple XL, the size, the maximum size. So if you are the 400-pound programmer in the basement, who is the real person who hacked the Democratic... No, that didn't happen. But whatever it is, we've got a size for you. And we, of course, welcome your reaction to the story. We're still working on the formatting, getting the glitches out. So the Paracast.shop, check it out. It's, of course, then we also have the Paracast Plus, where we offer the After the Paracast podcast. You never know what's going to happen next. This show, free of the network ads, better quality audio. So David and Randall sound great, and I sound the same. Go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus for more info. Gene, Randall, David, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Trump administration declared a public health emergency over the coronavirus outbreak. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says officials are taking steps to help reduce the spread of the disease here in the U.S.
Any U.S. citizen returning to the United States who has been in Hubei province in the previous 14 days will be subject to up to 14 days of mandatory quarantine to ensure they are provided proper medical care and health screening.
The Trump administration on Friday expanded its travel ban to include restricting visas for an additional 6 countries. The proclamation bans people from Eritrea, Kyrgyzstan, Myanmar, and Nigeria from receiving immigrant visas and suspends the visa lottery for people from Sudan and Tanzania. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Pass the guitars. And I have a violin in there, too, from Grayson. I don't have any other guitars. I had several guitars years ago in another lifetime. But forgetting about those things for the moment, rock stars have always had an affinity to UFOs and the paranormal.
Celebrities in general. But then I think, Gene, wasn't it you that I think for the longest time, I would say that William Shatner had an experience, but then I think you said that actually it turned out that he confessed that he made up the whole thing because it was all part of just what celebrities were doing. And so therefore, in order to, you know, you don't want to rock the boat. So he just said he had one, too.
Let me tell you the backstory. This is back in the late 70s, looking for some UFO article assignments. And there was something called, I think, Saga's UFO Report, with Saga magazine, one of those famous men's magazines, whatever. He asked me, the editor, would you write something up? And I had heard this story about William Shatner and the UFO he saw. I guess he was on his motorcycle or something. I wrote it up. It was published. And then not too many years ago, I learned that it was all made up. But William Shatner is an interesting character no matter what.
No doubt.
But nowadays, we don't talk about Shatner. We talk about someone else. Who? Right? Star Trek, yeah. Picard.
Yeah, Star Trek Picard. I haven't seen any of that yet. I'm waiting. I am more of a Star Trek than a Star Wars fan, I must admit. For me, I go back and watch the originals all the time. Next Generation was okay, but I'm very much, you know, the original Star Trek crew sort of fan, and will always remain so. I do believe me and my wife about a while back started to actually watch from the very first one right through to the last of the original series. We didn't quite get there. But,
did you get the DVDs with the updated special effects?
Well, back then when we started doing that, you could get them out from you get DVDs out from a video store. Sure. We didn't own them. Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Since then, they've redone the graphics for the ship and done it in CGI, and it looks much better. They've improved the color, and I've got them, and I've just been going through some old episodes recently as well. Just watched the Doomsday Machine the other night. You know, a real thing. I swear that's where they got the Jaws theme from, was that particular episode. You know, with it. Anyhow.
Actually, something I just did recently was go back through the whole series of Blake 7. That's for those people who don't know, that's a British sci-fi show. That's really good. It's one of my favorites as well. Big Blake 7 fan. And of course, Doctor Who. Why not? I grew up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like Jodie Whittaker as Doctor Who?
I got off the Doctor Who train before that. I think it sort of had run its course, at least with the last Doctor before her. So I haven't watched any. I might do. I don't know. I stay away from the whole political correctness sort of side of things. I'll take the shows on its merit. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. I think in a lot of ways, and I'm going to upset Doctor Who fans here, I think it may have run its course and probably should have stopped a while ago.
Well, I think the way they get away with it is they get a new actor or actress to play Doctor Who now. It goes on for 2 or 3 years, and they can bring back the Daleks and the Cybermen and the Master because it's a brand new show, brand new person, brand new personality, and you pick up some of the old plot tropes. But after doing this for hundreds and hundreds of episodes, are there any new ideas?
No. No, there aren't. I think it's just rolled around and around and around. A lot of certainly some of the last series I watched, it was pretty much in a lot of respects, and I'm going to upset Doctor Who fans again, just rolling out exactly the same plots that, in some respects, that Pertwee, et cetera, had done and all the other previous Doctors. So I got bored. I mean, it looks good. It looks great. But, you know, looking good doesn't mean it's a good program, nor a good movie. And that goes out to the people who just watched the latest Star Wars. Just because it looks good doesn't make it a good movie.
Speaking of the latest Star Wars, to me, I only saw two of the three parts of the trilogy. It consisted largely of retreads of older movies with newer characters. It's kind of like what J.J. Abrams did with the new Star Trek crew, the Kelvin timeline. Star Trek Into Darkness was a very, very poor remake of Wrath of Khan, which cannot be imitated.
No.
But no, that's absolutely what I mean. I wonder about J.J. Abrams. Has he ever done anything original?
But you wouldn't think so, judging by the look of the Star Wars reboot, because it's basically what it is, and the Star Trek reboot, the Kelvin timeline. I think, you know, by what I said about Doctor Who, we're just going over and over the same tropes. Give us something new. And I think, what is it about the trend with Hollywood to just take old films and let's do a remake, come up with a new idea for God's sake, please?
Well, it's like music, though. It's like there's only so many different things that you can come up with before you start having to repeat it, but with more upgraded special effects and so on. Like probably, I think one of the last sort of original ones that I really liked was, of course, The Matrix. With Star Trek, they did, to their credit, and this is something that I'd been waiting for in sci-fi, they went from just exploring our universe as the space-time continuum that we know to being able to go into an other completely different universe. And that was with Discovery. And that's really interesting because I was waiting for a show that would do that, but then it just seemed kind of anticlimactic to me.
Yeah.
The one thing I like about Star Trek Discovery I got to see it. They had a free sampling of CBS All Access. In other parts of the world, you get it through Amazon Prime. A free access, so we binged the show two seasons. And they had a younger Spock with a beard, played by an actor named Ethan Peck, who was the grandson of Gregory Peck. Now, in the spoiler, folks, in the last episode of season two, and this is, again, 10 years before the Enterprise, where Captain Pike is the commander of the starship and Spock is his number one officer, he comes on deck clean-shaven with the traditional Star Trek uniform that Spock wore, and he looks a lot more like Leonard Nimoy than Zachary Quinto.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, his acting is better, too.
Yeah.
Now, I'll have to check that out when I get a chance. But, of course, then in the original series, they had the alternate universe episodes there. They had the one where it was the mirror universe, where everyone was evil instead of and that goes all the way back to the 60s. So, really, you know, is it really new, or is it just, are they just regurgitating that again and putting it together with fancy special effects and new actors?
I think you're right. I think you're right. Definitely with that the Star Wars stuff. It's just, you know, doing A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, basically rehashed into something new and not as well done. It doesn't have the gravitas. It's something you sit there and watch something like Empire Strikes Back, and it feels dark. It's brooding. It works. The new ones, they don't. They're visually fantastic. The one thing about J.J. Abrams, you know the films are going to look fantastic. Great scenery. But acting-wise, take or leave it. I mean, it's not a bad series. It's just not good.
Let's just move past into the paranormal after this. I just wanted to say this.
Yep.
In the Star Trek original reboot, they try to show their advanced special effects and how big the Enterprise is by running a lot across the ship. Oh, my God, it's so big, it's vast. We're starting to see all this dimension to it. The special effects are better. But the plot, more to come with David, Gene Randall, and who knows what else. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer, shipped discreetly to your door."
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
We're off Star Trek, we're off Star Wars, we're not going to get into Stargate, which has its own fandom in several series. We're not going to do that. We were talking primarily about music and the paranormal, about different artists who have an affinity for things. Of course, we know John Lennon in the mid-70s saw a UFO with his then-girlfriend May Pang when he was separated from Yoko Ono. We don't want to get into that, except for the fact that we wonder here, if you are this super creative type, does that make you more sensitive to weird stuff?
That's an interesting hypothesis. I don't know. I mean, maybe being artistic makes you look at the world in a different way. Maybe that you're going to get esoteric here. Maybe it opens you up to experiencing different things that your general everyday Joe Blow wouldn't. I don't know. The question is, how many of us here have had a UFO experience? Randall?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
one for sure. Then just some other things that were sort of anomalous in terms of things flying around, but I couldn't be as sure about them because they were too far up. They're just sort of like stars, kind of, that would, or a satellite. Say, you know, if anyone's watched a satellite, I saw one. It was coming across above, right above my house, way up there. You can see them. They just look like a bright star. Mm-hmm. And then it just stopped.
Yep.
And I'd never seen one do that.
Yeah.
And it just stayed exactly where it was. And so I thought, okay, that's different. Went in the house, grabbed my binoculars, came back out, and it was gone. You know?
Strange enough, myself and Meg had exactly very similar experience. Just standing there outside and watching the stars, and very, very similar. Bright light coming down very slowly, and stopped. So, you know, what is that? Certainly not a helicopter. Not at that altitude anyway. So I don't know. A lot of time we're on these sort of sightings, for myself concerned, I always take it with a grain of salt, saying, is there a natural phenomenon I could attribute this to? Could it be man-made? I don't know. So hence the whole UFO or UAP or whatever you want to label it these days.
There's another thing. Okay, so recently we had Jerome Clark on,
yeah,
and I like taking a poll of people on this, and I wanted to take a poll with Leslie on it, because in the past she's been a real promoter of the whole UAP thing back when she was sort of hooked in with NARCAP, but she seems to have distanced herself from that to some degree. But where do you stand on that? Jerome Clark goes, you know, when I asked him, he just goes, I think it's silly. I mean, everybody knows we're talking about UFOs, so why pretend that we're not with some other acronym?
I think it's just trying to sanitize a word that's been around for some time to try and make it look more respectable. Who cares? UFO, unidentified flying object. You don't know what it is. UAP, I mean, the same thing. I mean, use what you like, but I think in a lot of ways we're just fooling ourselves. We know what these are. I mean, you call them a flying saucer if you like. So I fall on the side of it. I don't care. Call it what you want.
Yeah, we know we're talking about alien craft of some kind.
Stop trying to cover it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, stop trying to pretend it's something else and that you're looking at it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Gene? Are you going to go UAP anytime soon, or are we sticking
here's
with
the
UFOs?
Thing. I was thinking about this while you were talking. We started off with flying saucer. When Captain Ruppelt became head of Project Blue Book, they devised, or he devised, a more respectable term, because flying saucer sounded, you know, kind of wacky. And this way they can be more serious about it. Over the years, though, over 60 years later, flying saucer doesn't work. UFO has a stench because of all the craziness in the UFO field. One talk show host no longer with us said the UFO field was toxic. It doesn't matter who it was. So they devised UAP to separate themselves from those wacky UFO people and those even crazier flying saucer people. And that's all it is. I will possibly use it in talking to people who have heard of it that way. But otherwise, it's still UFO to me.
Here's the thing. So how many more years until a new term comes up? That's why I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, people have tried over the years. UAP is the first one that's really stuck since UFO. So I suppose if people want to use it, but I mean, like the reasoning that you were giving there, Gene, I find it really disrespectful to the people who have been struggling within the ufology community, who are fine with calling themselves ufologists and people who study UFOs, who are serious about it, and don't deserve to be painted with the same tinfoil hat brush that the UAP elitists, you know, want to put on us. There's a lot of really good people out there in the past who've done some really great work. And, you know, Alan Hynek, for example, from QFOS. I mean, the UFO experience, worked with the Air Force. Is he a tinfoil hat wearing that? No, he was a chairman of the Dearborn Observatory. He's a serious scientist. And I think to take the label away from them and shove them into the same camp is just not fair-minded, personally.
Well, it's disrespectful in a lot of ways.
I didn't say I agreed with it. I said this is what's going on.
I know, we're just talking. I'm not saying you were being disrespectful. I understand what your point is. And I was just making, you know, sort of the counterpoint to that. There I go again. Why do I always get blamed?
It was me. It wasn't me.
Don't blame me.
It was me that said that.
I can't help it, people. It's just who I am, I guess. It's built in. I can't help but stir up controversy somehow. Okay, but speaking of these lights in the sky, okay, something we've been having lately are these drone swarms. And at first I didn't think too much of them. But they're getting weirder and weirder because they still don't know who's responsible for them. I was looking them up prior to the show here to see if somebody's gotten to the bottom of it. And in Colorado there, they said that the police are looking for someone in a van that had some antennas on it. So there's somebody out there. We don't know if they're responsible for flying the things or if they're just out trying to figure it out like the rest of us.
Yeah, trying to track it.
And then I ran across a video of somebody who's on a ship out in the middle of the ocean. Now, okay, it's one thing to be, say, out in the countryside somewhere where maybe you could have a drone group or something, and I've seen them do that across in the field for me, where they'll have a bunch of things out, and it looks pretty cool even at night. I think anyone who didn't really realize what was going on from a distance might be tempted to think of them as strange, but Some of these drone swarms, they're quite large. They do look kind of weird, but over land, you can imagine that there's some group out there, a bunch of people playing with the remote control drones. But then this guy's got a picture of them out over the ocean. And he's like on a ship out in the middle of no place, and they're just out over the ocean. Like, it looks like about 20 of them. It's really bizarre.
That's a little harder to dismiss.
So what's going on with that?
Well, every month the UFO nuts go fishing.
I don't have any answers for you there, Randall. There's a couple of places on YouTube I have a look at stuff. I think it's a guy called, I think Suspect Sky, who posts stuff, just long videos of stuff from around the world. So quite a lot of it you can just go, yeah, that probably is just a group of people with drones. That's a helicopter. You know, that's Chinese lanterns. You know, but then again, there's other videos you go, it's a little harder to dismiss, ruling out the possibility of people doing a sort of CGI digital manipulation, because I bet there's a lot of that floating around. You know, you get some that you look and go, well, how the hell does that happen? Just like the one you're saying, the drone swarm off in the ocean. If it's real, that's pretty crazy. Is it? But has it been faked? Has it been manipulated in any way, shape, or form? I mean, that's another problem with our technology now, is that we're able to do that sort of thing and fool a lot of people. I mean, we've seen a lot of fake stuff over the years. So, yeah, muddying the waters, so to speak.
You know something here? We're going to have some very muddy waters in a couple of moments. But we're talking to David Stone, known as Stoneheart in our forums. We don't push the forums very much. But activity goes up and down depending on the day of the week. We have a big discussion on consciousness and the paranormal. And maybe we'll focus more on that for an episode because it has consumed 12 separate segments, each of which has thousands of messages. So it's one of the most popular message threads in the forum. I think it's the only one that's more popular than the original one we did about that certain one-armed contactee in Europe.
Who shall not be named.
More about his promotional person who shall not be named. We will not name them. We will name something else in a moment. Gene Randall, David, you're in the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.